AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Brett, I've got that feeling that you can only get in Minnesota in the summertime.
What's that?
Poison ivy? No.
Mosquito bites.
I got that, but no, I'm different. I went into my first lake today.
Shady Oak.
Oh, was that delightful. It was brisk. I wasn't in for long.
I was going to say, you had to have felt kind of cold. It's still a little early to go into the lakes, I think.
It's not bad. It's you know, used to be going in before, really after Father's Day was never heard of. And only the real hardy went in before the 4th of July. That's what my dad used to tell me. He said, you only swam from like the 4th of July to Labor Day in Minnesota. And now it's, you know, kids are swimming even in northern Minnesota when we don't have those freak blizzards. They're swimming in the lakes and you know, around Memorial Day up there. So it was delightful. I've got that. You can't beat that. That's Minnesota summer for sure.
Clean up some of that water that was dripping in though on the way.
I did wear my swimsuit into the Hopkins Public Library. I did not get a lot of views of appreciation when I did that. So my bad. Cliff Schechter is the founder, the president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain. And of course, the podcast, Unprecedented, fantastic commentary on today's politics. It is Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today to talk about the North Korea situation. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how are you, Matt?
I'm doing very well. I you know, there has been so much news overnight because of what happened there in the summit. I want to start by saying, though, that as much as conservatives are screaming that all Democrats are doing is being negative, the reality is Donald Trump talking to Kim Jong-un, period, there is a positive to that. Any president, any foreign leader sitting down with Kim Jong-un is a good thing under the guise of trying to resolve problems. Also, Kim Jong-un's decisions to, at least he says he's willing to look at peace on the Korean Peninsula, willing to look at denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Both of those things are good things. But that being said, that was about the only positive you could take out of this whole thing. The rest of it was it concessions. It was bad. There was nothing there at best. It really was a Trump's desperate attempt to make him look like he's some sort of grand diplomat.
Right. So there's a couple things going on here. First of all, I'd be a hypocrite if I said it was bad for any Republican to sit down with Kim Jong-un and try to accomplish something, which I wouldn't say. So, for example, if we had elected Mitt Romney, who, as you know, and people know who listen to me come on your show for years, I'm very much not a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
But is he an adult? Does he know how to wear, you know, clothes that fit him? Ties that don't go below his something I can't say on your show? And I mean, does he look like an adult? Does he act like an adult? Do you know that he has the best interests of the United States at heart when he goes to sit down? Yes. Or Colin Powell, or pick 50 other Republicans. I come up with a whole list. John McCain, I've wrote a whole book criticizing him. If he were in the good health and he were our president, I'd be all for him going and sitting down there. The difference is I'm sorry. No, it doesn't make me a hypocrite to think that the Mango Man baby going and sitting down, not knowing what the hell he's going to say, is a good thing. And look at what's already happened. He's already sat down and said he said that they would stop having joint actions with South Korean military. Apparently, he said that went completely off script. So he promised something he had not checked with South Korea on, because God forbid the king himself have to check with South Korea, embarrassed them. Then his own administration within 24 hours was saying, no, he didn't really mean it, make it so that he made a liar of us to South Korea. He got up and said unbelievably stupid things about how great this guy is and the chemistry they have and how, you know, he's a good leader and all these things you don't say about somebody who's starving their people to death and basically committing genocide. So, you know, there are reasons to not want Donald Trump to do this. Namely, he's a moron and doesn't prepare the way he said he wouldn't prepare, goes on his instincts, which, by the way, suck. So, I mean, no, I'm not going to accept that comparison. If it were any Republican, I'd accept the you know, people saying you're being a partisan. Second of all, what the preconditions are of sitting down are, in fact, important. People compare it to Obama going to Cuba, which I very much was in favor of. Well, again, a similar situation where we're not going where there's somebody who doesn't have to even promise they'll stop launching missiles over Japan and South Korea. I don't remember Cuba launching missiles over people recently. I don't remember them threatening their neighbors. They're a dictatorial regime who's done terrible things, if not the genocide committed, you know, in North Korea or ongoing. So I wouldn't put it on the same level still as North Korea. And yet, even if I wanted to say that they were equally as bad, they're still not threatening people. They don't have nuclear weapons. It's a different situation. So again, you know, you need to compare apples to apples. Mm-hmm. If we set these preconditions and said, absolutely, it's good to talk, but you need to bring something to the table. And if you bring something to the table, by the way, we'll have this conversation with you, but we'll send somebody who literally is not a four-year-old to talk with you. I would be all for all of that. So send Mitt Romney and send him somewhere that agrees to stop launching missiles over people and give us some other things. And I'd say absolutely thumbs up, but not this guy and not in this situation.
Yeah, Trump's words for Kim Jong-un have been far more positive and complimentary than for Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, for God's sake.
Exactly.
And that is just all. And that's within 48 hours. That's the insanity of it. This agreement that was signed. I mean, once again, Trump is touting a lot of stuff here. There's no guarantees. There's no nothing. Not only is this basically almost a carbon copy of an agreement that was signed by the North Koreans 25 years ago, which they never abided by, but when Secretary of State Pompeo basically – he put out the day before the summit, he was putting out a list of things that North Korea had to basically do for us to get any sort of agreement with. I mean, this was tough talk coming out. To my knowledge, North Korea has not – committed to doing anything at all that was on Trump's must-have list before they'd be willing to work hand-in-hand with the Koreans. This really was a capitulation by Trump and he sent all the concessions came from the U.S.'s side.
Well, was one of the conditions they had to buy something from the Chinese company that Pompeo has an interest in that he didn't disclose?
Yeah, maybe.
That's the thing. Is that you're dealing with such corruption here. Again, we're not dealing with a normal government. We're not even dealing with, you know, George W. Bush's government. Again, one that I was plenty critical of, but went through the normal procedures of when somebody was ethically compromised, they did not get into the administration. And we don't know what these people's interests are, because with the amount of corruption among every group, every one of them, from Pruitt to Zinke, again, to Pompeo, I don't know what his interests are, so I don't know what to trust. And I mean, and that's a huge part of the problem here, too. But again, yeah, this list, I mean, look, they can't even write their own speeches at their conventions. They rip off Melania's speech from the former first lady. I mean, so to think that they're going to actually come up with some new list on their own, anything that involves like maybe spending an extra hour or two in the office and ordering pizza is too much for them. So, you know, they're like, let's just copy it from somebody else. I mean, again, like, this is not a real operation. Mm-hmm. It's a Potemkin village. It's a joke. So to think that they're going to, that we can rely on anything they're going to do. This, you know, again, I talked about this on the podcast today. If you understand the grand theory behind Trump, and that is that he's a six-year-old who has never gotten past the phase of everybody look at me, I need attention. And if you understand that he also has the morality you tend to have then, where you don't really get the way the world works, he still has that morality. Whereas if Kim Kardashian comes and meets with him, he'll actually pardon the person she comes and asks because she's famous.
Yes.
And that at the top of Trump's list is a famous person took a picture with me and said nice things about me, and I feel dead inside. I always have felt like my dad's spare parts because Fred Trump Jr. was supposed to be the big shot, and I was always the moron. So anybody famous, no matter why they're famous, saying nice things about me is a win for me. That applies to Kim Kardashian. That applies, to Lou Ferrigno. It applies to Kim Jong-un. It doesn't matter who it is. So if you understand that that's the grand theory behind Trump, that decides his domestic policy, his foreign policy, you understand that this was a win for Trump. He got to go somewhere where a foreign leader runs his country with an iron hand. And everybody looks at him with stars in their eyes or otherwise they'll be killed. And that guy said nice things about Donald Trump on TV. That will explain everything to you about Donald Trump. That's why he's blubbering about how great the guy is, because he made Donald Trump feel good inside. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump was on every TV and a foreign leader was saying nice stuff about him, whereas Trudeau didn't say nice stuff about him. So it doesn't matter if one is Canada and one is North Korea and what their countries have done in the past and what their respective leaders have done. It matters what they said about Trump when they were on TV and how it made Trump feel inside.
Yeah.
That's the key to understanding everything about him. So for Trump, this was a win because he got what he wanted.
Maybe we can get Max Headroom to save the national parks.
Seriously, that's what you need. Think of creative ways to get stars. If we could get Brad Pitt to be like his chief of staff for 6 months and do photo ops with him where Brad Pitt would say nice stuff about him, We could solve global warming. We could probably could pass any gun control we wanted. We get all sorts of stuff. I mean, that's the key with this guy, which the Russians have known for 30 or 40 years, as you know, which is why he's been in either a witting or unwitting asset of theirs for that long.
Let's go back to the one thing you mentioned there. He broadsided not only the South Koreans, but his own military. His military would say, we'll get back to you when we figure out what the heck he's talking about. That is his own military's leaders saying, we have no idea. He pulls out, and clearly, once again, when you look at this whole thing, Kim Jong-un saw a president who is desperate for the optic of looking like he's some sort of diplomat.
Like somebody accepts him and likes him, and
He's fulfilling the big boy role of president. And Kim Jong-un played that. That's why he rearranged his schedule the day beforehand. That's why he had him scrambling. And Trump was so desperate that Trump starts offering up things in press conferences, which he should have never done. This joint military actions that the United States does with South Korea have been the check to keep North Korea in place. It'd be one thing if we had a signed document saying, here are the dates of the denuclearization, here's when you guys can come in and inspect. We don't have anything close to that. And so for us to take off our big deterrent off the table is wildly irresponsible. And once again, the South Koreans and the Japanese are both asking, what the heck are you doing?
Right. I mean, exactly. There's nothing concrete that was gained from this. Again, Donald Trump gained what he wanted. You know, I mean, if you again, people forget sometimes that foreign policy, I think we all take foreign policy more seriously because we realize what can go wrong and what can happen in this world. And we're all sort of mature, three-digit IQ'd adults who sort of sit here and think about these things. But if you just accept that for Donald Trump, foreign policy is no different than anything else he does in his life. So, you know, when he cheats on his wife, he doesn't do it with just some random nobody. He does it with Playboy bunnies and he does it with porn stars. Why? Because they're famous people. They've been on TV and in magazines. They must be important, right? When he takes a picture with somebody, it doesn't matter if they're somebody impressive or whatever. He's got this list of B-rate goofballs chasing him around like like Chachi, you know, from Joni Loves Chachi. Why? The guy was on TV. He must be important. If you understand, his administration is filled with people that Heather Nauert at the State Department the other day who said, you know, was talking about how close we've been with Germany since the time we invaded Normandy Beach, forgetting that we were fighting Germany at the time. She thought that was a joint operation, apparently. Why? She used to be on Fox and Friends. Like, this is his whole theory of life. So why would foreign policy be any different? If you've been famous in some way, you're important. And if you're important and you say nice things about Donald Trump, that makes that dead hole where a soul is supposed to be feel good. Mm-hmm. That's all that happened here.
Well, there is one other little nugget that happened. I don't know if you caught this. Aaron Rupar at Think Progress did catch this. After he's been up for like 25 hours and he's sitting there doing this press conference, someone asked, what will happen if none of this comes to light? And Trump basically admits, I'll never admit I was wrong. I'll find something else to blame. And it's a very telling line there that, you know, it's just he's only concerned about the entire point of this was never about denuclearization of North Korea. It was about Donald Trump big boy playtime.
Yeah, it's so funny. I literally was just about to quote that line because, I mean, if ever you wonder why Russians, Chinese, other people, I mean, they probably use Donald Trump like they have a cardboard cutout of him for like how to turn a foreign asset. What are all the weaknesses you look for? You know, you look for vanity, insecurity, you look for impatience, you look for people that are corrupt.
Narcissism.
You look for, I mean, right, narcissism, you look for gluttons, for food, for women. I mean, he has every negative, every bad trait I think a human male can have. And he's so dumb, he can't even hide it. So it's all transparent. So it's so classic. He gets up there, he's like, yep, it'll work. It doesn't work. You know, I'll probably make an excuse and won't admit it. It's like, He's so transparent, he can't even lie effectively to us. He basically just says, yeah, you know, I'm this pathetic guy and I'll do this. So, I mean, again, as you're pointing out, this is all just an exercise in silliness. It's all he feels good because he did something nobody else, you know, would do. And he got attention for it. It's just like any stupid antic he pulls on, you know, or did pull on one of his reality TV shows or anything else. That's what he judges things by.
He's a 5-year-old coloring the walls. That's it. Yes. Looking for attention.
And people that try to delve any deeper to this, like the New York Times, like, he's been preparing for this his whole life. I mean, I'm just like, are you guys freaking kidding me? I mean, I just want to sit there and shake my head and be like, do you look in the mirror when you write these things? Do you, I mean, I mean, again, go find a playground near you. Go there and watch Recess. And watch how some of the four-year-olds act towards each other. When one of them kicks sand on the other one because he says something not nice about him. That's it. That's the level of depth you need to get to understand Donald Trump.
No, don't
it
even
go deeper than that.
Don't go to the kindergarten. Go to the candy store at the mall, the one that has all the real candy in it, and see the kid that – watch the kids get dragged out of that place. That's Donald Trump. I mean, it's unbelievable. Since you're here, let's talk as well. Before we forget about the nightmare that was the G7 conference – let's get into that briefly if we can. Trump goes out, his entire policy, I mean, talk about ignorant. He looks at the European Union members of the G7 and Canada and says to them, here's the deal. You have to open your markets like you're a United State, and you have to allow our products in with no tariffs and no limits and no nothing, and then we will put tariffs on your products coming into the United States, and if you don't do this, then we'll shut down the U.S. market, which, by the way, that kind of shocked a lot of American investors. And none of this matters. I mean, the Canadians actually, the United States has a trade surplus with Canada. We actually benefit from the Canadian relationship. And all you're doing is he's running into the burning house and throwing gasoline all over everything.
Right. I mean, again, what he always does, because he, as he said himself, when he went to North Korea, he doesn't need preparation. That's for fools. I mean, again, the relationship with Canada particularly is one of those. I mean, it's up there certainly with the United Kingdom and France. He managed to offend two of those three on this trip. Some of the most important relationships this country has had, certainly in the post-World War II environment, it's what's kept at least somewhat kept peace in the world and prevented future nuclear war. To think that he even comes close to thinking that deeply about anything, he did what he does. He went in there, and to him it is a personal slight. You could see it, that idiot that went on Fox on Sunday for him and Navarro. I can't remember the guy's first name, and said, there's a special place in hell for Trudeau. You know that Trump actually wrote that line for him. I mean,
right? He did, yeah.
Yes, because he had to insult Trudeau. I mean, again, Trudeau, much like Obama, is everything Trump has always wished to be and can't be, right? He's the guy the elites love. He's attractive. He's smart. He's accomplished. He's all these things, that Obama was and that Trump has never been. And so Trudeau, I'm sure, on top of everything else, makes him angry because of that. But again, these guys, it doesn't matter the historical relationships we've had with them. None of that stuff matters at all. Again, what matters is they didn't just give in to Donald Trump's demands and they said something bad about him on TV. And again, nothing can be worse than that. So he refuses to sign on to this agreement, the communique, and again, behaves like a petulant child because that's all he knows how to do. I mean, if we look through the lens that we're talking about right now to everything Donald Trump does, I promise you, it explains everything,
And
it explains why he freaks out when someone like Trudeau criticizes him, because it's the elites that never would accept him, still not accepting him. It's that hole where his soul should be.
And by the way, that one, the trade representative from the Trump administration who said that he's going to hell, Justin Trudeau is going to hell, is dramatically trying to walk back that statement now, saying, I just got the best of me. It's like, what the heck are you talking about? No one should ever use phrases like that when talking about world leaders and trade policy, you idiot. So,
right. I mean, we're just lucky most of these places that he's done this with have adults, but all these strongmen he's so fond of. If one of them ever does criticize him, he ever has a falling out with one of these strongmen who's an actual bad person like him, God knows what'll happen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
An Erdogan or a Duterte or one of these guys, Orban or one of them. I mean, who knows what the hell they'll do? And that's the danger, of course. Trudeau, at least, is an adult, and we don't have to worry. He handled it with the grace and class that somebody like Justin Trudeau handles it with. Same with Macron, that they are people that aren't clueless. But I mean, right now there's a bunch of dictators running important countries in the world where bad things can happen, and it would be nice if we had an adult in our, as our president. But this is what we got.
We're going to spotlight this interview, but I also want to make sure we highlight the Patreon podcast for you, Unprecedented. You guys talked about that today?
We did. We talked all about, a lot of this kind of stuff.
All right.
The grand theory of Trump, as I call it, because it's just no deeper than that. It's so simple. you know. And again, that's why everybody's figured it out and exploited it for years now, which I'm sure Mueller will be telling us more about at some point soon.
Unprecedented. Once again, the podcast is on Patreon. It's on iTunes. I'll link to that as well. It's Cliff Schechter. Cliff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Top notch today, my friend.
Thanks so much, Matt. Always my pleasure, buddy.
Take care. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Let's take a break and come back right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Are you looking for the smarter way to buy and sell homes? Check out HouseGeeks.com. The HouseGeeks with Bricks Real Estate have the experience, tools, and technology to get you the best value. At HouseGeeks.com, you will be able to download their free home search app, easily set up appointments, or request your free home and neighborhood market assessment. Remember, the HouseGeeks, the smarter way to buy and sell homes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. No, to the rest of the world that's listening to us, and I know there's some people watching the stream right now that are not locals. Hello! Good to have you with us today. This is a nightmare. It is. We fully do acknowledge that this is what happens when you have 20 years of, you know, victimizing of the right, because anytime they're wrong, they're the victim. And anytime they're right, you have to destroy their enemies. And this is what happens, is eventually you get to a point where the villain in their story is always a Democrat. They hate Democrats more than they love their country, more than they love their religion, and more than they love their own personal quality of life. And when it comes down to it, the thing is that it was uncontrollable. They created the mob, and all of a sudden, when the monster ended up being the person they wanted to worship, the mob started following the monster, and they couldn't stop it. And that is where we're at today. And it's why, by the way, I still see this all the freaking time on these trolls that show up on the Twitter and Facebook page, who will sit there and say, he's the greatest president. What metric? What freaking metric are you even using at this point? Even Fox News and the rah-rah pep rally Trump needs to feel better show, their Fox and Friends, even they had a person on this morning saying, you can't call this a win. Even they were acknowledging this was a mistake. But they're still in love with the idea of throwing Hillary Clinton into jail, and that Donald Trump is really going to concern himself with the day-to-day well-being of the farmer. He is a five-year-old. He's that Twilight Zone episode where the kid has the absolute power, and they don't know what to do with him, and they're terrified of him. But at the same time, they still basically do whatever he wants. Because they don't, even though this is a horrible situation, it is what it is. I mean, they just accept it, that this guy, I better not stand up to him. This is a joke. I mean, he is annihilating relationships, and I get it. And once again, I think Schechter's point about stronger minds prevailing is a good thing. I think Macron and Trudeau are sitting saying, okay, 2.5 more years, then we'll get someone else in here and we'll fix all this stuff. Even if it's a Republican or a Democrat, we'll just get someone else besides Trump in there and it will be fixed. But I want someone to write a book, because when you look at top to bottom, every human being involved in this administration is crooked, is rotten, is incompetent, is belligerent. And you should write a book where just every chapter, Scott Pruitt, next chapter, Ben Carson, next chapter, Betsy DeVos, next chapter, you know, Ryan Zinke, and just, you know, just every person involved in this and everything that they screwed up and every conflict of interest and every deceitful thing they ever did. It would be a very long book. But it's because, once again, the Republican machine created the angry mob, and then the mob said, you know what, maybe we'll follow the monster. That's what happened. Jim is in St. Paul. Let's get him in here before we get to Democrat of the Day. Welcome in, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. You know, I'm just going to tell these clowns that go to see Trump in Duluth, if they stop to think of all the damage that he's doing to their jobs, their families, and their businesses, what he's done with the tax deal, which is an absolute ripoff, what he's done with health care, what he wants to do with pollution. This man, there shouldn't be anybody show up there, and if anybody does show up, they should be booing the hell out of him.
No, they'll go up there, and Jim, you know what they're going to do is they're going to go up there, and they're going to say to them, it was Hillary Clinton when she was president. She did all. Wait a minute here. You know what? I'll just make up it in the world. And that's when she was president, she was horrible, and he's fixing it all. I mean, Trump has, just in the last 2 weeks, pork, soybeans, wheat, steel, all have tariffs on them now to our biggest trading partners. They're not even taking cranberries or Harley Davidsons anymore in some countries. And you guys keep thinking this is going to get better. He will double down. He will burn down the House and insist the House is still standing. It's just like I said, he's the monster. And all you guys have said, you know what? Yeah, maybe the monster's got a point. Let's destroy this place.
So when a recession inevitably happens, they'll argue there's no recession, won't they?
No, they'll say it was Obama's fault.
You think they'll even recognize there's a recession in the first place, though?
Well, I think they will, just because that's going to hit most of the Republican voters first and foremost. And, you know, so it's going to hit their voters first and foremost. And then so when it does, it's going to hit. But then they'll just say, it was Obama. How sneaky was that Obama? He couldn't put in there a year of good quality markets, and then they crashed. Oh, he's a sneakster.
Or watch this, too. If Democrats take over the House, they'll say, well, you put Democrats in charge.
And even though they haven't taken power, the country collapses. Good luck. They tried that within 2008, before W left office. 952-946-6205. When we do return, we head to 35A. Bill Vikander is the Democrat of the Day. He's running in 35A for the House seat up there. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com. Go on over there. It's Father's Day week. Do you have a nice place to go grab breakfast with Dad? Well, go over to eatlocalminnesota.com. Find a great local restaurant, many of them locally owned, many of them locally sourced, and you, of course, you get a great local meal. The money stays local. It's eatlocalminnesota.com. Great restaurants waiting for you for Father's Day coming up this weekend. Joining us is Democrat of the Day for 35A, the endorsed candidate running for a currently held by Republican seat. It is Bill Vikander. He's joining us to talk about his campaign for 35A. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
My pleasure. I said it right. Vikander, right?
You got it right, Vikander. Right.
Just like Viking. So there you go. There, that will endear yourself right there. Welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Bill. Who are you? And talk about your history as you ran up to this point.
Yeah. So once again, thanks again for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. So I'm a husband. I'm a father. I live in Ramsey with my wife, Jessica. And we have two beautiful little girls, Eleanor, who's 4, Evelyn, who's 3. And we're actually expecting a baby boy here in August. In
Congratulations.
So we're very excited about that as well. Thank you. I've worked in higher education for the last 8 years, most of which has been in financial aid, helping students navigate the extremely complex financial aid system that we have, understanding how to borrow responsibly to reach their ultimate goal of graduation. And currently, I lead a team of 70 admissions and records representatives. And their job is to process admissions applications, transcripts, course registration. It's kind of a family affair working in higher education. My grandfather actually worked in admissions and financial aid for over 30 years. So following along in his footsteps.
What prompted you to all of a sudden say one day, I mean, I've been working in financial aid and higher education, but now I'm going to try to change venues and possibly go and represent 35A in the Minnesota House?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of different reasons. I think it always comes back to having a family, having two little girls, and being really concerned for their future. I've been following along with Minnesota politics for some time now, and moving to Ramsey, I really started paying attention, and our current representation in Anoka-Ramsey has really failed to address some of the greatest issues facing Minnesotans today. And, bringing it back to November 2016 after President Trump's election, just seeing the divisiveness occurring not only at the national level but at within our own state, I realized that I had to do more than just vote. And so I started attending my Senate district meetings, talking to my neighbors, and I wanted to give our district, Anoka-Ramsey, a shot at having some true progressive representation.
The district here, 35A, it is Anoka-Ramsey area there, and it is an interesting district because it is blue-collar. It's working class, And yet they have elected Republicans. Abigail Whelan, I believe, is the representative up there, and they've elected her, by a pretty large margin, resoundingly. Even though the Republicans' policies towards the working class are atrocious, they are trying to drive them out of their good jobs and get them lower wages and get them less benefits and get them no health care. And yet they resonate. How do you think you can break that chain and make people realize that, you know, the Republicans aren't doing you any favors?
Yeah, you know, it's really just going to be a matter of bringing these issues to the voters, directly to them, and that's what we're doing right now. Is we're phone banking, we're door knocking, we're really getting out the message. It's not about what we're running against, you know, and what we're opposing. It's really what our message is and our values and what we stand for. So the things that, you know, I stand for, the things that your everyday Minnesotan stands for. So working to improve our education system. Working to invest in our transportation and our infrastructure in our community. And, you know, I'm talking to way too many people that can't afford their health care.
Yeah.
You know, they can't afford to visit with their doctors for routine visits. It's bringing these issues to the voters and helping them understand what we can do to help better their lives.
We do have, we at least attempted to try to have health care options for people. And currently on the federal level, the Republican Party seems to be trying to get rid of those standards. It is not something that the people in St. Paul have been able to or have any interest in really dealing with. I mean, their mentality is health care is for the people who can afford it, that sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. You're in a district where I know that this is an issue there. Talk a little bit more about that, because, I mean, I think for most people, and it's not just 35A, I think this is pretty much every district in the country, the fear of illness, the fear of crippling, medical debt. This is stuff that is what's really people are sweating over at the kitchen table every night.
Yeah, and it's one of the top issues that I hear about when I'm at the doors talking with voters. And it's true for not only Democrats that I talk to, it's true for the Republicans that I talk to, as well as, you know, folks in the middle that quite, you know, they don't quite pay attention to what's happening in the current political system. But, you know, in today's economy, our families and our neighbors, we shouldn't have to choose between financial security, you know, living a healthy life and meeting their healthcare needs and affording their prescription medications. It's just, it's mind-boggling to think that we put ourselves in this position. And, we should have been able to make progress for a long time now. And I think it's the divisiveness that's occurring in St. Paul right now that's preventing us from making progress on this issue.
I also want to mention, you brought up education. The schools, I mean, we are blessed. I mean, Minnesota, I've been to other states. We really have good schools.
Yeah.
But there is that demand that we kind of keep making sure we stay on the front end of that curve. Your district it's an interesting one because it's becoming more and more metro. It still does, it still is hurt by, I think, the broken funding process in St. Paul for education. Talk a little bit about what you would like to do for education within the district.
Yeah, so I definitely think our public school system is the great equalizer in our communities. I think we need to have more investment in our public schools, all the way from early education through high school, into continuing education as well. You know, I'm really tired of seeing that we're having to choose between teacher layoffs and ballooning classroom sizes and other things. I don't think it's appropriate. And there definitely is a funding issue. Having to pull, from the general fund in order to make sure that we're providing the right education for our students with special needs. I think that's certainly not working for us, and it's not working for your average middle class family. So it's a broken system. It's been a system that's progressed over time, and I think it's time that we take the next step and continuously improve it.
This is a very winnable district. I know that I was looking up on Ballotopia. In some years that the Republican has won by about 20 points. But what we have seen since the election of Donald Trump is that Democrats, I mean, we just had a 25-point swing down in Kansas City. Now, there were some other things there. But this is a seat. This is one of those prime seats where, Bill, frankly, I can see you winning this seat because of what you've just talked about, is the fact that the needs of the district are not being met by the current representation. And the fact is that representation is Republican, and it's an off year. We're pretty frustrated as a society with where this country is at, and we want to change. I think you got a pretty decent chance here.
You know, I would agree with that, and I would also add that it's an open seat. So Representative Abigail Whalen has decided not to seek re-election this year. So, you know, for Democrats, I don't think the chances have ever been better. And that was my goal, was to, you know, make sure that we were giving this district the best chance at moving middle-class Minnesotans forward. You know, our current representation, you know, with all due respect, you know, it's been focusing on crafting and sponsoring anti-trans bathroom bills, you know, legislating conversations between women and their doctors, dodging important questions on tax policy that impacts middle class families, and voting against our unions. So I think, you know, bringing these issues to the voters, I think, you know, they have a real choice this year on how to move families forward. And I hope to bring that to them.
Well, and it's I think it tells you a lot about Abigail Whalen running away from that race, because she knows it. It's the kind of seat. When you look at 35A, it's a kind of seat where the Republican Party, when you look at the funding mechanism, they've not had to spend money there. And this time they're going to have to spend money. And my guess is, and it's not just that seat, but I've talked to numerous other people where there's a retirement that's going on. And I think it's what has happened is the Republican Party says, we never have spent money there. We can't really spend money there. We got to hold as many seats as we possibly can in these swing districts. And so as opposed to try to run for a seat where they know they're possibly going to lose, they're running away. So I'm feeling pretty positive about this. You got to, let's make sure we mention a door knocking. You're going to be doing some of that this weekend, right?
Yeah, we do have an event coming up on Saturday. It's our volunteer kickoff opportunity for volunteers to come and door knock with me and talk to their neighbors and have some conversations. I think that's what's really going to help us win this race. And to your point, you know, in terms of campaigns are expensive. And I don't think that this district is used to, more of a, I would say, a professional style campaign where their name is getting out in the public and they're actually able to talk to voters and have conversations. So it's been an interesting barrier that I've come across in that, folks aren't used to this style of campaign. So, but I can tell that they really appreciate the conversation. I hear and see them opening up, and we're having a lot of fun.
And good for you, because I think that's been a part of the problem, is that the Democrats haven't gone out there and talked to these people straightforward. I think you're doing a great job. Now, this is the disclaimer I usually do, Bill. Everyone listening to me right now, okay? You go help your local Democrat by all means, but then find a Democrat like Bill Vikander. This is 35A. Go help Bill. This is a Republican seat the Democrats can pick up. Find five seats like that, and the Minnesota House will go to the DFL. Absolutely. We got the Senate's in play too, but the Minnesota House for sure, you can help out. Go to billforhouse.com?
Bill for House. Very simple. My Facebook handle is Bill for MN House. But you can find out more about how to volunteer and help our campaign at billforhouse.com.
It's as simple as it gets. That's by the way, nice get on that webpage. Billforhouse.com. Billforhouse.com. Donate, volunteer. If you can, please do. It's just in the North Metro. So if you're in the metro area, a perfect place for you to just drive up, you know, 45-minute drive, go help out this weekend. The door knocking is on Saturday, June 16th at 1 p.m. Find out more once again by going to billforhouse.com. Bill Vikander. Bill, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, and all my best in 35A.
Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate you.
All right. I appreciate you coming on the air. Thank you very much. Bill Vikander, once again, 35A, Democrat of the day. We'll spotlight him as well. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on earth. So please give generously, and remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Bill for House. Nice get on that email or that website.
That's a heck of a website. It's like, Bill for House. That's awesome.
Me.com. What? Why'd you get that? Oh, nicely done, Bill. Billforhouse.com. Once again, 35A. That's a seat. I mean, you know, when you talk about where the Republicans are at right now, when you see people like Abigail Whelan, who's running in fear away from that race because she knows she's going to lose. And she's not the only one. There's a lot of Republicans that are retiring. When you see that, they already know it's going to be tough news for them. And so, you know, I think that I'm feeling pretty good, but you got to get out. You got to go help. And you got to freaking vote. Remember that. Patrick is in Apple Valley. Patrick wanted to chime in today. Welcome on in, Patrick.
Hey, Matt. How's it going today?
All right. Where the heck have you been at, man? I haven't talked to you forever.
Well, I listen to you still, but I'm always pressed for time, and I don't have time to call in.
All right. Well, welcome back.
I did want to make a comment, though. I've been listening the last few days about the Democratic Party and its whole scurrying around now. I mean, Keith Ellison dropped the bombshell by also running now for attorney general, and my comment is I think they're in disarray.
Do you know how much in disarray they are? Do you know how much are they in disarray? Catch this. They called Canada our enemy, and they called North Korea our ally. That's how disarray the Democrats are. Oh, wait, no, wait. No, that was Trump. That was the Republicans. That's the Republicans who said Canada is our enemy. And
there's a special place in hell for him as well.
There's a special place in hell for you and your Canadian bacon, you freaks.
And your hockey.
And your hockey and your Rush. No, not the Rush albums. I can't do that, man.
Hey.
And your delay. And your Gordon Lightfoot. That's how in disarray they are.
And your universal health care. What else?
Your argument is because there's a fight at the Democratic bat rack to go out there to face the Republican pitching because everyone knows they can homer off these guys because there's so many people that want to run for the Democrats that they're in disarray, not the guy that can't tell the difference between Canada and North Korea. Okay. Julie is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in. Thanks for the call, Patrick. Julie, welcome on in.
Yeah, just a quick point of listening to Tom Hartman's show. And it reminds me of the fact that when we're focused on a huge issue like North Korea, what's the Republican Congress up to? And he mentioned that was brought forth a wonderful idea today, take $15 billion from the Children's Health Bill. And it's kind of the beginning of the attack again on Social Security and just this, the whole safety net. So would just warn people, find out what's going on. And I've got to research it myself, but they're marching forward to destroy everything while we're looking at North Korea. What else is new?
Well, and thank you very much. Here's what I'll say is, and thank you. Thanks for the phone call. You're a little bit day behind here, because what I've understood is this. That was like 2 days ago that they wanted to take the money from CHIP, the Child Health Care Initiative Program. Now they're basically talking about cutting food stamps. Mind you, all of this is to basically pay for billionaires and millionaires to get massive tax handouts from the federal government. But then, mind you, that's what it is. But when you talk about they're gutting CHIP and they're gutting all this stuff, this is they're taking money from the poor and the needy to give to millionaires and billionaires. Proud day, America. Very Christian. Two things I want to make sure I mention here before I get done. Yesterday, I talked about the Minnesota 5th Congressional District and how they want to have an endorsement convention coming up here this weekend. And they're hastily putting this together. Margaret Anderson Keller, who is running for that seat, so the DFL endorsing contest was hastily scheduled for Father's Day. Many people already had made plans. She's calling for 4 debates with other candidates ahead of the August 14th primary, kind of instead. That's from Brianna Beerspach on her Twitter feed. You know, that's a valid point. Yesterday we talked about the fact that, you know, scheduled endorsement conventions, the regular ones, those are fine. But once again, I think you need to make sure the primary, people know that the primary, is it great if we have the endorsement and then we have the candidate there? Yes. But the primary is the final deciding factor on that. That's always the case. We talked about the fact that it seems like there are 300 people that want to try to make kingmaker here, that all this is going to do is build animosity within the DFL. Here's my thing. Her point is very valid too. There does seem to be someone having an ulterior motive with this Minnesota 5 endorsement convention that's been hastily put together. It feels like there is an ulterior motive going on here, and it's not for the betterment of the party. It's to put one candidate ahead of the party, and that's not what we should be doing. So I have no problem with the conventions. I don't. But this trying to put together a quick endorsement convention, an unscheduled special endorsement convention, it reeks as this is not going to go well. And I've said this: if 70% of a convention endorses a candidate, I think that's a great way. It pretty much cleans out the field, and we're done. I'm going to be surprised if one person walks away with the endorsement. I really am. I'm going to be surprised if there isn't a lot of animosity built up within the Minnesota 5 Congressional District Democrats in this case. I still don't think the Democrats have anything to worry about. The Republicans, are they even running a candidate in Minnesota 5? Are they? I don't know.
They are. I saw them at the convention. They're interesting.
Is it? Is there
a couple of them, actually.
You know, is his favorite color white? Yeah, all right. Is it? I'm just asking. I don't know. It's just I'm wondering. You know, I'm just asking a question. I don't know. I have no idea who the person is. I really don't have any idea who the person is. So
you and probably everyone in that district.
Yeah, it's like most of the Republicans, like, who's this guy again? All right. I'm a little concerned that's the case. The other thing I wanted to make sure I mention too. We kind of got to that a little bit earlier there with volunteering and helping out. It is so important this election cycle to not just help your local Democrat. If you're in a safe Democratic seat, great, help your local Democrat. But get into another district. The only way we can change this, is to get the Democrats back in power. And you hear the Republicans, they're scared to death of this right now. Well, take it to the House. Take it to the House. Vote DFL. Who's going up next?
Doug Padgett.
Doug Padgett up next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.